This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Oh man, John McClane, the general, he coming up right now. Everybody line up everybody. Stand up straight, make sure you fit your hat, fix your collar. Don't be looking all like that, man, the general coming. Make sure you don't talk back to him, man. Here he come.
Women salute. All right, John McClane is in the building at Social Beer Garden. He's got his USA game face on too. You should as well, come through. It's about to get very, very crowded in here, John. I notice you're correcting John Lopez about his soccer terminology. You're up there crisscross applesauce watching the games. Like, when did you become such a soccer fan?
Probably about 20 years ago when I was reading John's coverage of the World Cup when he was gallivanting around the world covering the World Cup for the Chronicle.
I was gallivanting.
So you made him a fan.
I got a fan in John McClane.
There you go.
Now I just got to set him straight on the correct terminology.
Okay. Let's just mention this real quick. When I was covering the World Cup since 1994, all the way to 2008, I believe, I would always use American football terms when talking about soccer because I think it can kind of creates a better link to U.S. fans. Like I would say field instead of pitch. I would say a zero instead of nil, uniform instead of kit. Because I think people can associate better. So that was my strategy, and hopefully it worked a little bit.
I say pitch, match, and nil.
And kit.
Every 4 years.
Yeah.
Kit.
Do you like the Texans
a
red kit?
Yeah, I like those red kits.
Boy, you're sounding pretty good on those soda commercials, by the way. I've noticed. You did
Thanks.
Your thing there.
Mm-hmm. I've done one.
How was I don't want to snitch on you, but how was Thanksgiving dinner with the soda life going?
It was great. My wife's a great cook and did everything I was supposed to do. It was a lot of fun.
So you didn't eat? What'd you not eat? You not eat gravy or what?
Bunch of things I didn't eat.
What'd you sit down on?
Nobody gives a rat's ass what I had for Thanksgiving.
Yes, we do.
They want to talk about Jose Abreu.
No. I knew that was coming.
We want to talk about what,
I knew
what did you have to
I
hold off on?
I want to talk about Jose Abreu.
What'd you have
Jeff
to hold off on?
Bagwell.
What'd you have to hold off on?
Well, what I was supposed to hold off on and what I did hold off on might have been two different things.
All right. Okay. All right. So did you have any pie?
Nope.
Did you have any gravy?
I'm not going to answer these questions. No.
I'm trying to get you accountable.
You need to get the Astros and the Texans account. Not the Astros. They are accountable.
Yeah.
I'm fired up about Jose Abreu.
Are you?
Yes.
Tell
absolutely.
Me why.
Because I looked at everything that was put out yesterday. I read everything. And I've always liked him. He's 3 years younger than Yuli. Yuli was awful last season, except in the playoffs. He saved more runs when it came to defense, even though we all think usually tremendous. Yuli is a tremendous fielder, and he was 2 years ago. And then I read a thing by Chandler Rome going over all the metrics, and he actually cost them runs at first, which I didn't see, but that's analytics. But Abreu's a power hitter. He can hit the right field. They got short right field. He can hit the left. I think having him in that order will scare people. Once you got past Tucker, nobody got scared.
Let's reach a goal for opening day. You've never worn Astros gear because you're such a hardo journalist. Because you're such a hardo journalist.
Never will.
Although you'll cheer in the front row, but whatever. Selective hardo. Let's make a goal that by opening day we're going to get John McClane a size XL Jose Abreu jersey.
No, I wouldn't wear it anyway.
Wear it. Well, you're going to fit in it.
I'm not going to wear
keep,
squat.
If you keep doing what
wear,
you're doing, I'm going to get you an Abreu jersey as a gift for your hard work.
Well, it's a, it would go to waste, I'll tell you that, because I will never wear team stuff. It's journalism 101. The moment you get in the business at a newspaper, you don't wear anything that has a team emblem on it.
Well, journalism 102 is if the city has a day for you and they name and they make it John McClain Day and you get to do a victory lap and you retire from the Chronicle and are doing other stuff, you're allowed to wear team gear.
I didn't wear my Astros when I threw out the first pitch. I didn't wear my Rockets when I shot the free throw and was honored, and I explained to them why I didn't.
Where's the, hey, where's that Rockets jersey?
It's a who was the center that was traded? My mind's gone blank.
Clint Capella?
No, no. This year he played this past
Christian
season.
Wood.
Yeah.
Oh,
was,
Christian Wood.
It was a Christian Wood jersey.
Oh, they didn't give
him
a claim?
I couldn't get in that Christian Wood jersey if I weighed 150. He was so tall and skinny.
So they gave you a Christian Wood jersey? They didn't make a customized McClain?
No.
Did,
and that's fine. I wouldn't wear that.
Did the
either.
Astros make you a customized
McClain? What I was worried about was when I started working for Mattress Mac, mm-hmm. I told him the first time we met, I said, there's only one thing that you should know. And he said, what's that? I said, I won't be wearing any Astros stuff. And I explained why. And I was open, and he handled it great. He said, wear whatever you want.
So did the Astros give you a customized McClain jersey?
Let's see. Did they... No, they gave me, maybe they did, and I gave it to Shereen Williams.
Dang it! I want a McClain Astros jersey.
I want it.
Yeah. Do you have, has anyone ever made you like a jersey with
no.
your name on the back?
I don't know. I've never, no.
I mean, how would you not know that?
Because I just don't pay attention to those kind of things.
So you gave
it's kind of like you and your questions. Jersey. I don't pay attention to them.
So there you go.
So you gave Shereen the McClain jersey.
I don't know what I gave her. It might have been a hat. Might have been whatever they gave me. She was there. She and her husband Tom came, and they were down on the first row when I was getting ready to go out. And whatever it was, I ran over and gave it to her. I don't even.
Oh, baby.
I was so nervous. To tell you the truth.
Yeah.
I don't even remember what they gave me.
Does Tom supportive of your and Shereen's friendship?
Absolutely.
Very much so.
You're so bad.
Some guys get jealous. I know you and Mother Football.
Her husband, Tom, is not the jealous type. Yeah. We've been on vacations together. We do all kind of things together.
Just you and her, or Tom went too?
No, God.
She and I have been on enough work
football
assignments.
Football trips, yeah.
Together, went to Super Bowl. We always sat next to each other, combine. We'd make sure the NFL PR people put us next to each other in the press box. So it got to a point we didn't have to ask.
Mother Football, have you ever, because I was a far observer of this. I didn't mm-hmm. want to get within 5 feet of her ass. And
really?
I love Mother Football. Have you seen her during an Aggie game?
Yes.
Holy crap, man.
She was an intern.
She is intense during those Aggie games.
When I got my first job at the Bryan Eagle, ask her if she remembers this.
She does, because you bring it up every time you talk to
why
her.
Would
no,
you,
I don't.
About
it.
Landry,
no, I don't.
Why would you be with Shereen Williams at an Aggie game?
I think it was in Dallas. I don't remember. We were at the airport for some reason.
Oh, she was.
And
she goes nuts.
She was at an airport bar. I don't remember why, but she was watching the Aggies. She was very intense.
Yeah.
And I think there might have been a time where she was in a press box where the Aggies were playing at the same time. I don't remember what game it was, but I've seen it twice. She is a diehard.
She's a big
she
fan.
Is. She has an Aggie flag and an Astros hat flag that she puts out in front of her house in Arlington, about a mile from the stadium, and a mile and a half from the Globe Life Park.
Mother Football.
You know what you were talking about with the jerseys and stuff? It took me several years to get used to that, to get untrained. Because for so many years...
Do you wear stuff?
I never wore anything
do
ever.
Do you now?
He wore throwbacks back in the early 2000s.
No, I wore... It took me about 4 or 5 years after being in Strictly Radio. I'll wear my Aggie stuff.
I wear Baylor stuff.
I'll wear my Aggie stuff. And I do wear my Astros hats. Yeah, I do wear my Astros hat for sure.
I'm thinking I might wear an Astros cap one time if I get a Colt 45.
Yeah, you can do that.
How's that different?
Because they were the Colt 45s, not the Astros.
Oh, it's a throwback. God. It's more for fashion than anything. John is very fashionable.
I think it's an integrity thing.
That's what it is, and it took me a while to get it.
I'll admit I'm an Astro fan on the air. Everybody's known it since 1976 when I started doing radio.
You're just conditioned.
But I just don't wear anything. You're not supposed to wear things in a press box with any kind of emblem,
exactly.
Not just the Texans.
Yeah, not in the
press
box.
And they will tell them, you got to leave.
Yeah, not in the press box.
Yeah.
Yeah, no doubt about that.
All right, John
McClain joining us, presented by Horn Solutions.
How about we talk a little Texans here?
All right.
Very generic question that I think you'll get the gist of. What's wrong with Lovie Smith?
Lovie's feeling the pressure. He's frustrated. You can see how he is. He knows how bad the team is. I'm guessing he knows his job's in jeopardy, and that's why he's going at it with the media. And I checked with a friend in Chicago who covered the team. He said, yep, Lovie was that way with us when they were losing. And it's not a good look. You don't want to give the McNair family any other reason to be fired other than your product on the field.
Right.
Not because you're getting condescending and argumentative and snippy with reporters who are asking questions that the fans want asked, and the fans are ones that pay your salary.
Of all the people who have coached this team in recent years, no one should know more that that's how the game is played, that you're going to be asked these questions. Plus, John, I'm sure Nick Caserio told him, listen, this team probably isn't going to be real good. We're going to try to win as many games as we can.
Why would he even have to tell him?
I know. Why would he even have to tell? So what is wrong with him?
Well, I'm sure nobody thought they were going to be as bad as they are. Nobody thought they were going to be an embarrassment to Houston for the last two games against Washington and Philadelphia. And I'm sure he's embarrassed.
Is he getting fired?
I think now, as I told you guys last week, if they continue to get embarrassed the way they did against Washington, I think they'll clean house, although I would keep Frank Rossi. He's done a tremendous job with the special teams. It's too bad special teams can't score touchdowns because they need them. But right now, if you ask me, I'd say yes, because I don't see any hope that they're going to win another game, including when even Jacksonville.
Yeah, Jacksonville's playing a little bit better.
Trevor Lawrence has all of a sudden started playing great. And I look at that schedule, and I think they're going to get embarrassed again Sunday because the Browns, number one, not count Watson, they run the ball great. Now, the Texans play great run defense against Miami, 26 carries, 66 yards. But Miami's not a great running team like Cleveland is. If I were Cleveland, I don't know that I'd ever have Watson throw a pass, but, of course, he's got to throw passes. This is like a practice game for him, like a joint practice
game.
Like a joint practice where he's got to come out and work on things.
Jeez.
Before the schedule gets real the next week when they play, I think, Cincinnati, and the schedule gets tough. But I expect the Texans to spit the bit again because I haven't seen anything that made me think any different.
What are your memories from the Deshaun Watson era? Like, how will you look back at it?
First of all, I'm going to write a column about this for Gallery Sports about what if Watson had never said he wanted to be traded? What if he were happy? Or what if he were disappointed, like losing, like everybody, and then all the things came out, and what would the McNair family have done? They wouldn't have cut him. They wouldn't have traded him. Probably sure it would have played out like it did with the league. But that would have been interesting. And there's not the buzz here about Deshaun because people are so disillusioned about the Texans.
That's what I said.
I've got two Cleveland talk shows scheduled. My best friend up there, Tony Grossi, just picked my brain for 30 minutes. He said, are there going to be protests outside the stadium? I said, maybe. He said, are people fired up about Watson? I said, no, they're so angry at the Texans. Continued futility. There's no buzz. It just like with Washington and Philly, there'll be as many Browns fans there as the Texans, and I'm sure he'll get booed by the fans who are there. But if the Texans were better, if they were competitive, there would be a buzz about Watson coming back.
Did you see Busby's got a suite with 10 accusers?
I saw that, and they'll be up there, and I'm guessing they'll be booing.
I guess. Interesting play by Tony Busby. John McClain joining us, presented by Horn Solutions, talking about Deshaun Watson's return and a lot more.
You ask what I think about Watson. Other than the lawsuits, when I think about him as a player, I think about the hit he took in the wild card victory over Buffalo.
Yeah.
When Mike Milano and somebody else sandwiched him and he rolled out, through to Jones, and it was a long gain, and it set up the game winner.
You say B.O.B.'s butt that game.
And I think of several big plays he made like that in 17 as a rookie. He was great at Seattle. Afterward, Richard Sherman and all the defensive players were saying that's the best games anybody's ever played against us. Not rookies, all quarterbacks. And then, of course, he got hurt. But some of the things he did, going to Jacksonville with a punctured lung and a cracked ribs on a luxury coach, and They beat the Jaguars, and so you think, you look back and you think, my God, you know, what if?
Yeah.
What if?
That game against the Titans, his rookie year,
oh,
that
yeah.
was the most positive that I can remember the stadium with, like, the vibes. Because even after the Buffalo playoff game, there were some people where he kind of had, like, Bill O'Brien fatigue.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, ah, he bailed him out. But that Tennessee game where they scored half a hun or whatever, that was the most loud, positive, enthusiastic that I can remember in RG in a while, maybe post.
They put a 50 spot shop. Up somewhere
they
close.
They put a 50.
The Miami game here when he beat Osweiler. He threw five touchdown passes.
Lamar Miller touchdown.
Yeah, he's a great quarterback. And I kept telling my friends in media, he'll be back eventually. Every story won't have about his civil suits. He'll focus on football. He's a great quarterback.
John, we're going to actually air it on our show tomorrow. But John, Deshaun's speaking tomorrow. What would you ask him? What do you think he needs to answer?
They'll ask him, because in the two news conferences he's done, they haven't said anything about limitations, which I thought they would. I thought they would say he's got legal issues. He can't talk about the legal issues. And he said some things that he shouldn't, that he said the wrong way, and he got eviscerated by the media up there. They're going to ask him about his off season. They'll ask him about going to counseling. He's done everything he's supposed to.
Because what I'm going here is, he hasn't said a damn thing about Houston in his
experience.
No,
but he
here.
Will now, because the game's here. No, he did say something about, yes, he did, because one of them asked him in the last news conference about Houston, and he just, you know, it was almost like obligatory.
Yeah,
you
cursory.
Know, that's in the past.
Yeah.
And he's not going to do anything, say anything stupid. They will counsel him on what to say, but I think he'll say he's looking forward to it because it's the first game. I think he'll say stuff about playing here. I think he'll say the right things, and they'll ask him all good questions, and most of it'll be about his punishment, how he handled it, and then how excited he is to come back and what he expects for this game and the rest of the season.
I'm hoping there's some Houston questions in there, because there really haven't been a ton. Right, I understand.
Well, there'll be Houston questions because they're playing them.
Yeah, that's
right.
But
a city of Houston is what you're talking about.
No, like everything.
Like playing here
just everything. Just like what went wrong, why, you know.
He's been asked all that.
But he didn't answer it.
He was asked all that in two news conferences, and I guarantee you he's not going to go back over everything that happened here.
And so our listeners know, Mary Kay Cabot is going to be joining Ron and Clint at 4:40 today.
There you go. After another awful loss to the Dolphins, the bigger change is coming for the Texans. Check out the newest episode of the Utopia Podcast with Sean Pendergast and John McClain on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Coming up, Nick Caserio last Wednesday. Myself and Lopez were pretty fired up about it. I want to hear what McClain has to say, and we'll also play a little world-famous McClain leg hiking next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room, to candid interviews with basketball legends, to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
John McClain saying, "Find him, Freddy."
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
All right, John McClain joins us, and every Tuesday, 11:20, we play world-famous McClain leg hiking. Concept very simple. We throw takes at John McClain, not necessarily ours. He agrees, or he hikes the leg. Nick Caserio sounds very out of touch when he speaks sometimes.
Hi, Jim Figgy. I mean, he speaks like a guy came 20 years from New England. If you think he's out of touch, you ever heard of Bill Belichick?
You don't think that's out of touch here?
Out of touch, talking in circles, not saying much. I think that's what most GMs do.
Well,
and most of them don't talk during the season. They talk before the season at the draft.
I think it should be a requirement that he speaks every single week. no, seriously. I think
that ain't happening.
Well, I think transparency is very important in this city more than anything when it comes to the team, and I think he should have to speak. But when he says stuff like he decides at the end of the interview to say, well, I just want you to know there's more important things than what happens on a football field. Dude, it's Thanksgiving. It's a holiday. And you don't need to remind people. They don't show up to your damn stadium. You don't need to be reminding people about that. It drives me nuts.
I listened to that interview, and I could tell when he did it that Mills was out based on what he said. And I could tell that Wednesday, and that's why I tweeted it when Lovey started talking. Because as soon as he said, we haven't decided or whatever, I tweeted that Kyle Allen will start against the Dolphins.
Well, Garofalo got the credit, though.
Yeah.
McClain.
Which leads.
Why didn't we give McClain the credit?
I should have given McClain the credit.
People don't pay attention as much as they used to.
Well, which leads to one of my leg hikings, my first one. The dumbest thing the Texans have done.
One of the dumbest things.
The dumbest thing the Texans have done is try to play coy about these reps that they were allegedly splitting.
That's one of the dumbest things I've ever heard. You think that's the dumbest of all the dumb things they've done?
It's one of the dumbest. I'll go with you. One of the dumbest. What were they thinking, John? And first of all, are you going to hike your leg on that?
No, I agree with that.
Yeah.
Kyle Allen took the reps with the first team last week. I checked on it.
Except during media availability, he did not.
I'm sorry. They split reps.
Okay.
And I wrote about this in my column for Monday that he was told Friday and they did divide the first team reps.
Yes, which is weird, right?
Which is dumb.
Dumb.
Like, why do they think that they could keep that a secret? Like, why does Nick Caserio think that that could be kept? You don't think it's just Lovie?
Well, that decision's up to Lovie Smith, not Caserio.
Okay, so you don't think Caserio was
absolutely
saying we don't want
not
it to be a secret? Really?
No.
Okay.
No.
Well, then,
but the guy that's all up to Lovey.
He hadn't started a game since 2020.
Then Lovey looks dumb.
And you're splitting reps. You think Deshaun Watson's splitting reps this week?
Of course not.
Well, if that's the case, then
he's been doing some first team reps since he was able to come back three weeks ago.
Yeah.
Lovey Smith should, whoever, regardless of the what, when, how, why, Cal McNair and Hannah McNair should have pulled Lovey Smith and Nick Caserio in the office after what happened Wednesday and try to figure out what the hell happened there because it looked stupid.
They know what's happened because they see him at practice. They know what's going on. They stay out of it.
So you don't think that they should be embarrassed by what happened Wednesday where you go up there and act like a jerk?
Just like, should Sean McVay be embarrassed when he said, you'll see who's starting on Sunday?
No, because Sean McVay can actually keep it a secret. Sean McVay doesn't go say it, and then 10 minutes later, it comes out.
It was already out
does it.
That the kid that was starting. It was Sean McVay did the same thing, and it was already out. Who was starting the backup? Third string guy was starting.
It was a little bit different.
No, it wasn't.
It was a little
bit different.
It's
just that you're covering this team and not that team because I checked it out.
So you didn't think that Lovey looked a little bit silly going up there being combative about it?
No, I thought he looked silly. Yeah, absolutely.
But he's the one who brought up that a change was coming, and then he gets mad being asked about the change.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
There you go.
All right.
I guess that's not a hike.
I got another one that ties in with this as well. The Heat, anytime something goes wrong with the Texans, finally and justifiably is going to fall on Nick Caserio.
First of all, Davis Mills, is it Caserio's fault that Mills looked terrible this year compared to the end of last year? It was Pep Hamilton's fault. He's the coach.
Yeah.
Is it Caserio's fault that against the Eagles and Giants, Pierce averaged 116.5 yards a game rushing in the last two yard games he can't get to the line of scrimmage. His offensive line has gone down the toilet. Is that his fault? If it had been all year, that'd been his fault, but it wasn't.
Not the second part isn't his fault, but he clearly put Davis Mills in the position to be like our guy.
He's going to be our guy.
He did for this season.
For this
yes.
season.
For
this
yeah,
year.
Only
yeah,
this
for
season.
This season. Yeah.
Nick Caserio never thought he was the franchise. Nobody. They thought that he deserved another chance, and he did.
Yeah.
And then he is terrible, and the only difference, he's coached by Pep Hamilton and Ted White.
But I'm not necessarily even talking about Davis Mills. I'm talking about just the Heat in general, the dysfunction of the team, the dumb things, the stupid things they're doing. I mean, this is you can't blame Jack Easterby anymore in PR.
Like,
you know,
what'd they do stupid? Lovey up there?
The whole thing, he had Nick Caserio's support in saying that and being vague about who's doing what. You can't tell me he didn't.
Caserio's, I'm telling you, Lovey says what Lovey wants to say in news conferences. Caserio didn't sit there and say, okay, what are you going to say? How are you going to handle this? He doesn't do this. He's working
on personnel.
But
he's in charge of messaging with this organization. There is
nobody. Lovey is in charge as the head coach. And during the season, the head coach is the main guy. After
Nick
the
Caserio
season ends,
is in charge of messaging of the organization.
Right now, no. The head coach is.
No.
Head
I
coach
disagree.
Is in every organization
totally
during the
disagree.
Season.
Do you think Lovey Smith's going to do something Nick Caserio doesn't want him to do?
Yeah, he just did last week.
How do you know that?
So Caserio wanted him to announce the quarterback?
No, Caserio stays out of that stuff.
But Caserio was vague about it, too, that morning.
Well, why should Caserio say the truth when Lovey's not going to say it later?
Well, that's what I'm saying, the messaging.
The message comes from the head coach. You guys get a clue.
You get a clue.
Come on. You think you know? Well, never mind.
No, I don't know the Texans better than you. I know what you were going to say, and I don't. All I'm saying is
Caserio doesn't talk to Lovey before Lovey meets with
the media. All I'm saying is before Lovey spoke, Caserio spoke on this station and was as vague or more vague than Lovey
See,
was.
See, I thought Caserio was much more revealing. He was being negative toward Mills. Yeah. He wasn't going
to
go on there on Wednesday and say, we're starting Kyle Allen when Lovey was going to say, we don't know what we're doing or whatever he said.
I
disagree. Caserio spends his time on personnel, on scouting, overseeing the pro scouts, the college scouts. He goes to games. He's worried about scouting. And, of course, he watches the game. But Lovey's in charge of the game day roster and decisions that are made on starters and backups.
Lovey.
Okay. Yes.
Well, I mean, either way, he
it's
needs
in his
to
contract.
Go. Well, either way, he needs to go. So I don't really care either way. When the Texans do fire Lovey Smith after this season, I'm not a PR guy, but if I were advising the McNairs, I would say wait till the Broncos do it with Hackett and do it 10 minutes after, because he would be one and done too. If you're worried about perception, which is what you always bring up, you know Hackett's one and done. He's gone. 10 minutes after Texans announced Lovey Smith fired, boom, minimized.
Hi, Kid Figgy. Give me a break. You don't worry about what another team's going to do. If they're
going to
fire him on Monday after the season.
You're the one who said that they should be worried about it because
no,
of perception.
No, I didn't say
stuff.
They should be. I said they are.
Yeah, well, because they
you
are.
You get so much
that.
Stuff twisted. I never said they should be. I said they are worried about it.
Yeah, so if they
but
are,
when
then
your
it's
team
even
is
more
so
the
terrible. Everybody knows the coach has got to go. You tell him Sunday night. You announce it Monday morning.
Wait till
and you start your search for the next
literally,
coach.
Literally, as soon as I see
hopefully,
the tweet.
Hopefully, D'Amico Ryans.
As soon as I see the tweet of that, boom. Lovey fired right after Hackett. Minutes after.
Jose Abreu's acquisition marks the end of the Yuli Gurriel era.
As the starting first baseman, yes, but they want him back as a utility
guy. You think
that
he'll come back?
I have no idea. He's going to be 39. Who's going to give him a contract that where he could come here, back up at first base, maybe Abreu does DH, or he could fill in maybe as a DH batting seventh in the order. And because Abreu played 159 games last year. That will not happen with Dusty Baker. Dusty makes them take games off. And but I think because they like Yuli, you know, Yuli was a third baseman when he was signed by the Astros and he moved to first. So he could fill in over there if they got to have a day off for Bregman. So I think they want to re-sign him, but, you know, he's got to have his feelings hurt.
Yeah.
But he also has to understand it. And so I bet if he gets an offer, he'll go somewhere else. If he doesn't, he'll stay here.
All right, I saved the best one for last. I got a feeling this is going to be a very intense denial. Charles Robinson was on a podcast, and he was talking about the Washington Commanders sell. and he said the following: I'm just telling you, I would not be surprised if we see how much the Washington Commanders sell for. I would not be shocked if the next franchise that gets put up for sale is the Texans.
Put up for sale. Bob McNair told me one time, he said he had it legally where the franchise would never be sold. I said, you can't fight from the grave. He said, I have it set up where it will be in the family, where the kids will own it, the grandkids will own it. But truth is, you can't fight from the grave. You know,
yeah.
A lot of owners, including Pat Bowlen, thought they had it, he had it set up the right way, and it turned out to be a disaster. But no, Texans will not be sold.
So hike it.
Hike it, Figgy.
Well, that was the nicest leg hike I've ever heard. If I would have said that, you would have gone in on me, man. Goodness gracious. Double standards here with John McClain. Double standards. John, what's coming up on Gallery Sports and SportsRadio610.com?
SportsRadio610.com. I will have in the morning posted observations about the Texans and Deshaun Watson. I'll have a Watson column for GallerySports.com. And thank you guys very much. And go USA.
Go yes, USA. Sir.
Thank you, guys.
Go USA. What are they doing?
Did you see those questions the Iranian journalists were asking the public?
Oh, yeah.
I did.
He like should
all
have said,
political questions?
He said, no, I don't have a problem, but I do have a problem with a country that makes women do this,
oh, wow.
Has mass executions, cuts
wow.
your hands off
yeah.
if you get caught stealing something. I have a problem with that.
You just had to get that one in,
good.
Didn't you,
I did.
Good.
Thank you guys very much.
All right, sir.
The legend, John McClain. Sexy as ever, thanks to Soto weight loss. Coming up, let's check in on Deshaun Watson's final wish. Tony Busby is at it again. And Davis Mills, man, he might have gotten benched, but he got compared to one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL.
My guy.
As he was
my
benched.
Guy.
The hits are lit next.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
Deshaun Watson, he's coming to town. Let's look back at Deshaun Watson's final wish as quarterback of the Texans. And we'll get you to the Yellow Rose whiskey talk coming up within the next 10 minutes. We've already got one winner today. We're gonna finish the day with four. This was Deshaun Watson. This was the final wish. This is what he wanted to happen after the 2020 season. Let's look back at that. But first, here's what Deshaun said.
I mean, we just need a whole cut. Culture shift. We just need new energy. We just need discipline. We need structure, a leader, so we can follow that leader. And we all got to be on the same page. There's too many different minds and too many different ideas and too many people thinking that they have this power, and it's not like that. You know, we need someone that stand tall, and this is who we follow, and this is the way it go, and we're going to do it this way to win.
All right, there you go. He wanted a culture change, obviously. I guess he didn't get what he wanted. When Caserio was brought in, how would you, because of all the things that I think are on the negative side of things for Nick Caserio, I think mm-hmm. the culture is at the very top. Now, maybe I don't think we can fully judge it until you have a full post-Easterby offseason, but regardless of the what, the guys that they thought were going to be their culture guys and the stuff that we talked about, It's taken the biggest hit of anything that's happened with Nick Caserio. Everything else, you can make a case up to this point. He's done a good job. But the culture, which this could be a good thing.
Yeah.
Because I'm kind of glad that the culture got exposed, because I thought it was a joke to begin with. And I thought they valued stuff that didn't need to be valued. That's why Rex Burkhead's here. That's why Justin Britt gets treated like he's Earl Campbell and doesn't have to play in the preseason. That's why Kamu Grugier-Hill, despite sucking last year, is one of your guys in the middle. That's why Jack Easterby's walking around, you know, painting signs at practice.
Yeah.
So I think, but I do think that the culture is the most exposed thing during the Caserio era.
Well, yes, but let's go back to that comment that he just made right there. That was the first, I mean, we had been talking about some of the dysfunction, potentially some of the culture issues here, you know, ourselves amongst ourselves as fans and people in this business. That was the first haymaker. That when your franchise quarterback and people are wondering about just how happy he is, and they have a bad season, but he comes up as one of the, I think he led the league in passing that year, right? 4,800
yes,
yards.
He did.
And he comes up and says that was a haymaker. That was the first like, Wow.
It was an opportunity, too.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a just get rid of Jack Easterby, figure stuff out. That
right.
was the warning sign.
That was the big one. That, yeah. You know, it wasn't just us talking and people speculating and people over there telling us things. That was Deshaun Watson just did this. And what is his future here is when we really started worried about that. So when you say it's still lingering, that's the sad part to me. That's the scary part because all these things have changed. And now you've got guys like Brandon Cooks that were counted upon. You know, some of these other players that you just mentioned that were counted upon. And there is still, we don't know if this is a good culture or not.
Yeah, I know that, but I would rather have the uncertainty rather than the same old going on. Because I thought that what they value, and again, I think this is as much Jack as it is Nick. And and at one point, Jack's title was, you know, he oversaw, or the description was he oversaw the culture of the team. So, I'm actually glad that it's got a little bit exposed. I know Nick Caserio yeah. says like there's fake information and all that type of stuff, which I thought was irrelevant. I thought that was like, okay, who cares why Kamu Grugier-Hill wanted out? Who cares how it went down? The fact is y'all brought him back and he sucked. Who cares if Justin Britt has personal issues going on? Not like in a specific thing, but in the big scheme of things, he stunk at football.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw that he stunk at football, but y'all valued something else. And one week into the season, he got exposed. I'm glad that that type of stuff is kind of getting minimized. Like Rex Burkhead. Rex Burkhead's the right kind of guy. He was also statistically one of the worst running backs in the NFL. Like, if that was what the culture was, maybe that changes. Maybe it adjusts. Because the one thing that I can hope most for Nick Caserio mm-hmm. is that he's not a finished product. That he's not a finished product. That maybe along the way he's going to learn some lessons and he's going to learn about maybe some mistakes that he made. And he's not a finished product. But there is a feel. And it's what happens with these guys from New England. There's a feel that they think they know everything about everything, and they bring these New England philosophies to other places, and they misplace them. So the biggest hope is that Nick Caserio is not some blowhard, know-it-all, stubborn guy, but there's a healthy fear, and there's context clues that that's the case. And that's where, when you talk about a culture change, that's where Texans fans that want to move on from Deshaun Watson, that's what's going to get you. It's just going to be it's going to continue to repeat itself if Nick Caserio is not at least willing to adapt.
I think we've seen him make some adjustments philosophically, but we've also seen some kind of warning signs that it is still that. The adjustments have been, he came in large part because Jack Easterby was one of his biggest advocates. And you can't tell me that he wasn't a part of the decision to part
Jack
ways.
Told me.
Yeah.
Jack literally told me.
Yeah.
I said, what have you contributed here? He said, bring in Nick Caserio.
Yeah.
Tell me.
So he was on the plane to go get him. But Caserio, you can't tell me also that he wasn't a part of the decision to part ways with Jack Easterby. So he's kind of evolved there. He's kind of opened his eyes a little bit there. Or at least, I think he was.
Or did he not have a choice?
I was going to say, at least I think he was part of the process.
Like,
there.
Was it the same way that Jack Easterby wanted to part ways with Bill O'Brien?
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Now he blames Bill O'Brien for everything. So I do think that I at least have, like, one eye on Nick Caserio.
Yes. But to your second point, like, in terms of how much has he really changed? How much is he still tied into those ways? We're seeing signs of this subterfuge, this mysterious messaging and hiding things, that are a little bit alarming, to be honest.
Yeah, well, McLean says that was all Lovie Smith.
I don't buy it.
And
obviously I told John McLean that, and we disagree, and that's cool.
Well, he said he knows more than you.
And he does know more than me. I'll be the first to say that when it comes to the Texans. I'll be the first to say that.
Flexed on you.
But I also know, actually, he stopped himself. I said it. But I also know that Nick Caserio is in charge of everything over there. Everything and everyone. He's the voice. He's the message, the messenger. He crafts the message of that organization. And by the way, why would Lovie Smith not do everything that Nick? He's lucky to be here. Because of Nick Caserio.
I think Lovie Smith thinks he invented football, the more I actually hear him talk, honestly. Let's play the hits here on In the Loop on Sports Radio 610. We'll get you a chance to go to Yellow Rose Whiskey Talk as well.
Playing all the hits. These are the hot stories of the day. You're listening to In the Loop with Houston's sports leader, Sports Radio 610.
Davis Mills got benched, but not all is bad. A guy who used to sit right here, Nick Wright, now of Fox Sports 1, he compared Davis Mills to Josh Allen, one of the best quarterbacks in football.
And then you have the Josh Allen problem, which is through the first 6 weeks of the season, Josh Allen was 17 touchdowns, 4 interceptions, a 104 rating.
Cooking.
Some of the best-dressed, most in-shape people on sports television. We're calling him the best quarterback in football, not naming names. The last 6 weeks, that's half the season up to this point. Let's show you Josh Allen's numbers compared to Davis Mills. Oh, it's the Spider-Man name. They're the same.
Okay.
That's Josh Allen and a quarterback who just got benched for, you know what? I don't remember that fella's name. I bet against him this weekend, and I can't remember his name, whoever the Texans quarterback is now.
Nick hates Josh Allen.
Dude, he is a cheap homer.
He is a giant homer. He's not the cheap homer. He's a giant homer.
God.
He's been on Josh Allen all year long. I mean,
he's been banged up, man.
Even when they lost.
He's been banged up, though.
Yeah. Oh, his elbow's all messed up.
But the problem is, the way that the Bills are playing right now, they're in a battle in their division.
Yeah.
So when are you going to be able to rest Josh Allen? Like, he's banged up. In a perfect situation, you'd like for him to have a week or two off to be able to get right. But he's so banged up, and Miami's doing what they're doing, and the Jets are competing, and, heck, the Patriots are still competing. So he's not going to be able to rest.
When I heard that this morning, it brought back so many memories, because sometimes when Nick gets on one of these things, and he has, like, so much evidence.
Oh, he knows how to make the stats dance.
He turns the stats into something that supports his point. And he knows that he's being contrived with this. And you know that he knows. And yet he still, you know, just sells it so well. It was hilarious.
Jose Abreu is coming to town. 3-year contract. Jeff Bagwell, by the way, a large part of this announcement. I got a text message from someone on the bat phone. I think they're too scared to say this publicly.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll just let them remain anonymous. He said that how you guys support Crane listening to Jeff Bagwell is completely beyond my understanding.
Hmm.
He thinks Jim Crane should not be going to Jeff Bagwell when it comes to making moves.
Well, I think I have an idea who it is, too. But he must not have been listening real carefully.
He just saw a tweet.
Yeah, because what I've said, and I think you've co-signed this, is I could see Jim Crane making the call on the big decisions, which he's done already anyway, and trusting Bagwell and Ausmus and his baseball people to kind of do the legwork and the dirty work. I do think it's an unbearable take.
Okay.
Yeah, I do. Because sometimes, you know,
would
Mike
you be able to defend that in court?
Yeah, sometimes Mike doesn't listen.
The sports are complicated and not that linear.
So, you know, but that's fine. I've worked with him too, this person.
College football news, Hugh Freeze is going to Auburn. Hell of a hire. If Kiffin had gone to Auburn, I would have, and I were Ole Miss, I would have brought Hugh Freeze back. He belongs in the SEC.
Yeah.
NIL, a little bit different.
Prostitutes are happy
now
too.
Matt Rhule is going to Nebraska. How about that? 5 years, $38 million, I think.
Freddy's frozen custard is happy too.
What the hell is wrong with you? What do you think about the Matt Rhule hire?
I'm not real crazy about it.
I think it's perfect.
Really?
It's perfect.
I think part of it is I just don't think Nebraska's a good job anymore.
Well, it's
as good.
Well, he's not a elite candidate. I mean, the way that it happened in Carolina.
Yeah, but he's a short timer because those Nebraska fans still think that.
No, they don't.
They still think they're a 10.
No, they don't.
Yes, they do.
Nebraska fans are the best fans. If they do not, they know. They've been humbled. They know.
But they still think because they think the brand and their aura that they're still.
Well, the last time they were good, they were on the wishbone.
Yes, they were literally running the
wishbone.
They were
literally running the wishbone in the early 2000s.
Yes, and they still think it's that.
They're dumb with that.
Well, they're not. I'm telling you, they're not.
Why don't they just hire one of these Army or Navy coaches that runs the wishbone so well?
Well, they don't want to do that.
Just go back to the old school.
Bring back some of those backs and Tommy Frazier and Lawrence Phillips and all that stuff.
Winston, all that. Yeah. And Deion Sanders, he confirms he's been offered the Colorado gig as well. Those are the hits here on In the Loop. Let's give you another chance to go attend some Whiskey Talk. This is your second chance. There will be four throughout the show.
The holiday season is here, and another Yellow Rose Whiskey Talk with John Pendergast holiday special is coming next Tuesday. Be caller number 5 right now. and you and a guest will be joining us at this exclusive event. Call now, 713-572-4610. Be caller number 5 to 713-572-4610. And you're on your way to the Yellow Rose Distillery for our special holiday whiskey talk next Tuesday night.
All right, next hour we got you front row seats to Texans-Browns on Sunday and a Texans ticket Tuesday. 1 o'clock we'll have a Texas Bowl giveaway, and then we got two more of those Yellow Rose in the noon hour and the 1 hour. Check out the crew, Odyssey's newest football podcast with NFL insider Josina Anderson, former cornerback Fred Smoot, and actor Morris Chestnut. Each week, players and celebs join the crew. Give you a peek behind the curtain of everything going on in the world of entertainment and NFL. Follow the crew on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Coming up, the polarizing return of Deshaun Watson. Is it possible for Texans fans to look back fondly at the return of their former franchise quarterback? That's next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.